When things have been adjudicated as constitutional and within the framework of respect for our liberties and freedoms as tools against other law enforcement infractions, I have no hesitation of using those same tools in the fight against terror. Let me just give you one other example, and I'll try to answer other questions too, but individuals have expressed concern about the ability under the Patriot Act to get business records in the fight against terror. Business records have long been available with a subpoena from a grand jury in other criminal kinds of activity. In a grand jury subpoena, you don't have a supervising federal judge who looks at the subpoena in advance of its delivery or demand. Only if a subpoena is challenged or if the law enforcement authority seeks to have it specifically enforced because it's been resisted does it ever come before the judge. In the ability of the FISA Act, and of the Patriot Act to extend the ability to get business records in the arena of terror, a federal judge sees the matter before the demand is ever made. And it's in the context of supervision by a federal judge. So I don't see the Patriot Act as a place where liberties have less of a framework of supervision by the court system and less guarantee against abuse. I think the Patriot Act provides an adequate framework, superior to other frameworks, for the respect of the freedoms of Americans. So that as we deal with terror and as we examine the tools that are available in the fight against crime generally, I think it's fair to say that those tools which have been effective to fight other kinds of criminal behavior will probably be added to the arsenal of weapons to be employed against terror, and especially the tools which have been understood and litigated and adjudicated by the courts, tools to be effective tools that have not threatened and don't impose any restriction on the civil liberties.
The 9/11 Commission has expressed concern about doing a thorough investigation, in part because the Department of Justice has delayed granting access to classified documents. Could you respond to criticism that there's some stonewalling going on by DOJ?
Well, we are intent on providing all the access as expeditiously as possible. The President has made it clear that we need to, consistent with national security, to make every effort toward cooperation, and we are, and we will. It is important that these issues be resolved, and we will continue to make every effort to do that. We have provided thousands and thousands of documents, and we will continue to perform in that way.
That's Attorney General John Ashcroft. Ashcroft was touring the country defending the 2001 USA Patriot Act, including a recent stop in Boise, home of fellow Republican Butch Otter. As a member of the U.S. House, Otter voted against the original Patriot Act and has led the effort to repeal certain aspects of the act in Congress. Otter was a guest speaker at a Patriot Act forum sponsored by the Palouse Peace Coalition August 26, 2003, in Moscow, Idaho. During this program, we'll hear that forum, which also included ACLU attorney and University of Idaho law professor Liz Brandt, Idaho State Senator Gary Schroeder, a Republican from Moscow, and State Representative Shirley Ringo, a Democrat from Moscow. We'll also hear from one of the demonstrators who stood holding signs outside the forum. He's a friend of Sami al-Hussein. Al-Hussein is a Saudi Arabian citizen and a computer science doctoral student at the University of Idaho who was arrested on visa violations in February 2003. Law enforcement officials say they believe Al-Hussein was helping funnel money to terrorists. He has been held in the Canyon County, Idaho jail ever since. We'll also hear from the attorney for Sami's wife, Maha al-Hussein, who spoke at the forum.
We're with Liz Brandt, and current status, you're on the National ACLU board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first question is, Oh, well, let's talk about the Al-Husayn. Do you know if any Patriot Act provisions were utilized in investigating?
You know, I don't know for sure. But I have the sense after hearing the U.S. attorney from Idaho speak in public that at least in the period of time leading up to the arrest and the searches that took place immediately after Al-Husayn's arrest, that they didn't really use any Patriot Act provisions. I do think that the provisions that are allowing him to be detained now without bond are Patriot Act provisions. But I don't think any of the information gathering, at least the preliminary stuff, really involved the Patriot Act at all.
Although it would probably be hard to know because you don't know how
to. Right. We don't know for sure, and I suspect that even if we were to do a Freedom of Information request or something like that, that we wouldn't get that information from them.
Okay. Well, we have Butch Otter, and he only opposes two parts of the Patriot Act, at least that he's spoken publicly on, the sneak and peek provision and the library reading, you know, well, library and bookstore provision. And I was going to ask you, what other provisions might you feel that that you would oppose, that you oppose?
Well, there's a general provision that I think is the most onerous. One of the main things the Patriot Act does is it lowers the standard for obtaining an intelligence gathering wiretap or using special searching powers available to the intelligence community under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Prior to Patriot, you had to show that gathering intelligence was a primary purpose of the investigation to use those powers. After Patriot, you have to only show that it's a significant purpose to use those powers. And I think the sneak and peek searches and the data searches under the library stuff under Section 215 all flow from that. So I guess I would prefer to see that wall between intelligence gathering and law enforcement investigations be rebuilt. And the primary purpose test that was originally in place for FISA returned. I think that would go a long way towards eliminating the possibility of abuse across a whole series of Patriot Act provisions. I want to add one thing about Otter. You know, we're not always on the same side of the issue. In fact, this is only time, but he voted against the entire act. And although right now he's only sponsoring legislation to fix these two pieces, I think it's not fair to his position, which has been pretty consistent all along, to be opposed to this expansion of power that's represented by the Patriot Act generally.
Okay, so even though he's only speaking against it, well, I can ask him tonight.
Right. At the moment, he is involved with two legislative pieces of the act, but I don't know what his future plans are. But I do know that he has been pretty consistently opposed to this expansion of power through Patriot and voted against Patriot when it was up for congressional vote originally.
Okay. So other than rebuilding the wall between FISA and intelligence gathering, anything else you want to say about
that? You know, there's just a whole series of things. I mean, the Patriot Act makes it a lot easier for surveillance of individuals on the Internet, and there are a series of different provisions that do that, provisions that make it easier for them to install devices on your computers that would allow them to gather information about where you visit. The expansion of trap and trace orders or pen registers from telephone lines to internet use, combined with the Section 215 data gathering, which could potentially enable them to get information from your internet service provider about websites and emails that you've sent to. I mean, I think all of that stuff needs to be curtailed. And subject to the regular old warrant requirements that we've lived with in this country for over 200 years.
Okay. I know, a political question. You don't have to answer if you want. But Ashcroft's visit to Idaho yesterday, do you think he's targeting Otter?
Well, I don't know that he's targeting Otter per se. I mean, I think Ashcroft's visit to the Pacific Northwest was
Let me ask this.
One of my producers suggested that, well, mentioned that some members of Congress are complaining that Ashcroft's tour in general is unconstitutional because of his position in government. I haven't heard any of that aside from what my producers. You don't know anything.
I don't know anything. And the one comment, Lee, I would make about, I mean, I have to say, I think were it not for Otter's opposition to Patriot, Boise would have never registered on Ashcroft's Richter scale. So, I mean, is he here because of Otter's opposition? Yes. Does that mean he's targeting Otter? That might be too much of a statement. I do think that Ashcroft and the Justice Department and the Bush administration generally are feeling the pressure of public opposition to this expansion of governmental power, and they're clearly trying to recoup some of their prior popularity by making tours like this.
Okay. I just want to see if you want to say anything on Patriot Act 2, otherwise known as the Domestic Security Enhancement Act, that has been that was secretly proposed, and then it was leaked, and it seems like it's not going anywhere now, but that could change if there's a terrorist event.
Oh, my view is it's already changing. Patriot 2, as a piece of unified legislation, isn't going anywhere. But many of its provisions, I think, are on the table to be adopted in the form of administrative regulations and through executive order. Some of its provisions have made themselves into a new proposal that's being called the Victory Act. I don't know what the acronym stands for off the top of my head. So I really think that there's quite a bit to be worried about with regard to Patriot 2, provisions of the Total Information Awareness Project of the Department of Defense, I think, are still alive and well. And another sort of surveillance data gathering program of the federal government, CAPS, C-A-A-P-S, which is their airport surveillance system, involves a tremendous amount of profiling and data gathering on individual airline passengers, and I think poses huge threats to individual privacy.
Mm-hmm. Anything specific, any parts of Patriot Act 2 that are being brought into law by executive orders, and would that be legal? And I also hear some of them are riders on other legislation, too.
Yeah, oh, sure, it would be legal. I mean, Patriot 2 and Total Information Awareness, really what's at the root of them is the putting together of a huge database of information that will permit electronic profiling and tracking and monitoring of individuals. And, you know, a lot of that data is already in possession of the federal government, and executive orders dealing with information sharing among agencies, as long as there's not legislation proscribing that sharing, it can be done through administrative regulation and through executive orders. And I think, you know, clearly that's the intent of the Bush administration, and they're moving in that direction.
That was Liz Brandt, who's on the national board of the American Civil Liberties Union and a law professor at the University of Idaho. Now we go to the Patriot Act Forum held at the University of Idaho Law School courtroom August 26th. Congressman Butch Otter, Republican of Idaho.
Excuse me, I wasn't paying attention. Thank you. Well, let me say first that I'm proud that this room is full tonight. And I'm proud whether you have already made up your mind about the Patriot Act and about what you're going to hear tonight, but the fact that you're here to learn more about it. I will tell you this, that in the little time we're going to be spending with you tonight, it's abundantly more time than was spent debating the Patriot Act on the bill of the United States House of Representatives in October of 2001. Let me sort of set the stage for you, if I might, just a little bit about what we were faced with when the idea of the Patriot Act was created, processed through the legislative process, passed, and signed. We all know the events of 9/11, and we all know, for the most part, who we felt was responsible for that and who took credit for it. We also know that when we started working on the Patriot Act, in the drafting process, that was in the province, that was in the jurisdiction of the relative committees of both the House and the Senate. However, the House took the lead on it, the Judiciary Committee of the House took the lead on it. And they began their process not too long after 9/11. The smoke was still coming up out of the rubble in New York City and at the Pentagon the day we voted on the Patriot Act. We could still hear, and we're still getting phone calls from the families of the victims, from the relatives of the victims, and from the countries that represented many of the victims that perished on 9/11. Myself and many of my colleagues, most of the Senate, two floors in the Longworth Building. I'm on the seventh floor of the Longworth Building, room 711. We were not in our offices, and we were not in our offices because we had already had three or four letters of anthrax material that had been delivered to either Senate office buildings, and in the House office building, they found the material on the sixth floor of my building, so my whole building was shut down. We were then removed from our normal environment, our comfortable environment, and we were taken to other safe houses around Washington, D.C. And so as we began the process and the debate, it was not normal times. And of course, I suspect after 9/11, we will never know normal times again. The world changed. We changed forever as of 9/11. I will never look at the world again the same. We were angry. We were being deluged from all over the United States with my constituents and constituents of the 434 colleagues that I have in the House of Representatives would do something. Do something. It's important that we show the world a confident and a face that has resolved itself to make sure we right this terrible attack and this terrible wrong. The days immediately preceding, or I guess I should say the week immediately preceding, there were several of us that from the Republican side that went to the Judiciary Committee and members of the Judiciary Committee and staff of the Judiciary Committee, and we indicated to them that from the early on drafts that we saw of the Patriot Act, we were concerned that perhaps it had gone a little bit too far. And some of the safeguards and some of the balances that this republic has always been noted for and the democratic process seemed to be pushed too far into one branch of government and taken from another branch of government. And so we began in a negotiating process, and an odd bunch of us it was. Bernie Sanders, who is an independent, the only socialist that's elected to the United States Congress. I should not say it that way. The only person who ran on the socialist ticket for the that is a member of the United States Congress. Myself and a couple of my colleagues from the Republican side, Ron Paul of the state of Texas, Ray LaHood from the Midwest, and eventually Bob Nave, also from the Midwest. And our concern was obviously imbalancing our checks and balances in our government, that there were equal distribution of checks and balances, equal distributions of powers, that the Congress writes the law, the administration administers the law, and the courts then are the rest of the balance and the finder of fact, and who has broken the law and who then shall be punished for the law. Those were the concerns that we had, and those were the ones that we expressed. And so the actual document and the product that we had worked on for about a two-week period, one of the things I should say, too, that we always insisted on is that there be some accountability. That if in this broad expansion of powers that was granted to the various branches of government, that somebody should be held accountable if they abused that power. That there ought to be some way to say to that individual, that agent of government, you have abused this person's fourth, fifth, sixth, first, tenth, ninth constitutional rights, and you are going to be held personally responsible for it. They absolutely rejected that out of hand. That was the first red flag for us. And their answer generally back to me was, but you can't expect these people not to make a mistake. And I said, if they are given that much trust, I can expect them not to make a mistake. But if they do, they need to be held accountable. That's our whole system of government, as far as I'm concerned. And one of the most essential and foundational, important foundational parts of that. So we had negotiated right up to the last minute. And the night before the bill came to the floor, the Judiciary Committee met late into the night, led by Jim Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin. And they came out with a product the next day. And the bill that they came out with was a brand new bill. In fact, when they delivered the 432 pages to the floor, pretty good stack of bill, it was still warm from the printers. We were then asked to debate for whatever time was allowed by the rule, and we were asked to vote on it. There were a lot of us that objected to that. We asked that we be given more time, that we take this back off of the day's agenda, maybe for a week, so that our staffs and ourselves could go through it, so that actually, quite frankly, so that I could send it to Idaho's Attorney General and say, what happens to the state's rights under this? What happens to the first constitutional law enforcement, the county sheriff? What happens to the state's responsibility for law enforcement, domestic law enforcement? What happens to all of those authorities and those powers under this bill? But we didn't have that time. They went right ahead and forced the bill to the floor. They passed the rule, and we began the debate on the bill. Now, under the rules of the House, the rules are set for time, and they're also set for the debate that goes on. And each side is allowed so much time. And generally, as a Republican, I go to the majority side of the House, and I say to whoever the Republican is, I'm going to speak for or against this bill. That you're on my side of the House, and so I would like some time to speak for it. Generally, I could request 2, 3, 4 minutes. If it's not a bill that's heavily engaged in debate, then I could get more time. But this was one that a lot of folks were really wanting to speak on. And the main reason that they were wanting to speak on it was so that they could show in the face of the television sets on C-SPAN that we were indeed doing something. And so the American people could take pause and cause in the fact that we were in the process of protecting them. We were in the process of mounting the necessary legislation that was then going to make sure that 9/11 never happened again. Make no mistake, 435 members of the House, and whether they spoke for it or against it that day, I believe each and every one of them is a patriot. And I believe if you voted against the Patriot Act, doesn't mean you're not a patriot. And if you voted for it, doesn't mean that you're not a patriot. And so, as would be the normal process, I went to the floor of the House and I went to the majority leader, Dick Armey, who was the chairing the Republican side of the argument. And I said, Mr. Armey, I'd like to have some time to speak on the bill. And he said, but I want to make it clear, I'm speaking against the bill. And he said, oh, Butch, we need to talk about this. Number one, Butch, you know, it's one thing to vote against the president, and it's one thing to vote against the John Ashcroft, the Department of Justice, and our efforts to fight terrorism. It's one thing to do that, to vote against it, and I would hope that you wouldn't, but you certainly shouldn't speak against it. And so I said, well, listen, first place, I'm in total support of protecting this country. That's from terrorism. I'm supporting the president where I can support the president constitutionally. I'm supporting the Justice Department. We'll continue to support the Justice Department in their true authority as I see it and as I believe it is under the Constitution. But I think it's also important that somebody be allowed to speak on behalf of from our side of the aisle about what we think we're doing here today, because this is historical. It's historical because we're reacting to the first time that the Americans have ever been attacked on their own soil, on their own mainland soil. we're reacting to an attack that we didn't know was ever going to happen to us, and to one that we lost over 3,000 American lives. We're attacking in a modern-day sense. And anyway, he came back and said, Butch, I don't believe that you really ought to speak against the bill. I said, well, I am going to speak against the bill. He said, Butch, if you speak against the bill, I'm telling you, your folks out in Idaho won't send you back here. And I said, Mr. Army, I appreciate that advice. But let me tell you, if my people don't send me back to the United States Congress because I voted against this bill, then I don't belong back here. I maybe belong home or someplace else, but I don't belong back here because this is really the true test for me. Well, anyway, there wasn't any time on the Republican side, so I went over and begged a couple of minutes off of John Conyers from Michigan, who was leading the Democrat fight against it. I say again, this makes for very strange bedfellows, and I don't mean to make light of it, because I believe everybody was very sincere, whether you were championing the voices for it or against it that day, everybody was very sincere. Anyway, let me just tell you briefly, because I think you're probably going to hear some more about the problems with the Patriot Act. And let me tell you in general, rather than citing Section 213 or Section 215 or Section 801, let me just tell you what really bothered me about the Patriot Act. And I wanted to set the stage for you because I want you to know that those were not calm and easy times for us. Those were our times where we were jerked out of the comforts of our surroundings. There were times when every day we felt that we were under threat. There were times when suddenly in the capital of the United States, there was an army person standing on every corner with a machine gun. There were SAM missile bases set up on the Capitol Hill. There were constantly, every morning you could see the contrails of the F-16s that flew over the Capitol during the night just in case there should be an additional flight come into Washington, D.C. and try to take out another part of our government. And so I say that because I understand why there were those who felt they had to vote for it. I felt that I had to vote against it. And I felt that I had to vote against it for several reasons. The reasons that were the most glaring for me, number one, was the nationwide search warrant. A nationwide search warrant, which basically says that you can go any place in the United States, to any jurisdiction in the United States, and you can get a search warrant to search my house in Star, Idaho.